Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at OffbeatOregon.com. And this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy this show. This is a story of a heroic rescue and a miraculous salvation. This is the story of a Harney County rancher saving a pioneer Oregon aviator's life. Barnstormer Ted Barber was down to his last half cup of gasoline when Ralph Grove rescued him by lighting up a field with the headlights of his car. Ted's old Waco 9 biplane lived to fly the next day, and so did he. This story was first published on March 19th of 2011. Here we go. On a stormy late summer evening in 1930, a few feet above the ground near the Oregon-Nevada border, 22-year-old Ted Barber was preparing to die. Barber was an aviation pioneer, Central Oregon's first and for a long time only barnstormer. His ship was a primitive old biplane called a Waco 9, powered by a slow and unreliable engine called a Curtiss OX-5, built before World War I. He was flying the Waco now. It was a very dark night in a very remote place. He had no idea where he was or even what direction he was flying in. It was too dark to see the compass. When his fuel ran out, he would try to execute a dead stick landing in the dark. The chances of success were in the thousands to one against him. And in this sparsely populated section of Oregon, chances were no one would even notice the wreckage for days, maybe months. And he knew he had no one to blame but himself. Barber was on a barnstorming trip from his home in Bend. A few days before, he'd flown down to Frank Henry's ranch in the Catlow Valley on the west side of the Steens Mountain. The Henrys were putting on a dance in the town of Andrews just over the mountain from their spread. Ted was there to sell airplane rides. It hadn't gone so well. His engine had quit twice, and he'd had to make emergency landings in the eastern Oregon sagebrush. No one was hurt, but the lashing sage had torn up the fabric of the lower wing of his biplane pretty badly. By the end of the day, Barber was eager to get back to the Henry's ranch. But the day was hot, and the air was thin and gusty, and his shredded-up bottom wing wasn't giving as much lift as it usually did. Barber couldn't get the plane to climb high enough to clear the Steens. He tried and tried with increasing desperation as the sun sank lower in the sky until suddenly he realized he didn't have enough gasoline left to get back to the ranch even if he did get over the mountain. He'd have to find some place to land. If he'd realized this earlier, Ted could have flown leisurely along with plenty of gas looking for a ranch house to set the Waco down next to. He could have overflown a promising hayfield to make sure it was safe. No barbed wire fences, no big rocks, no stone walls, and then made a hair-raising but basically safe landing in the gloaming twilight, just in time for supper at the ranch, perhaps. That's what could have happened, but it didn't. Instead, he was here, flying just a little above stall speed through the darkness, a dozen feet above a vague line of lighter darkness, the starlit signature of a dusty country road, which he had through sheer dumb luck stumbled across a little earlier. He was sticking with the road because crashing there would be much better than crashing in a hayfield someplace. The biplane's engine droned on. Ted couldn't understand why it was still running. It should have sipped its last drop of gasoline sometime earlier, but he wasn't complaining about it. The longer that engine ran, the longer his life would be. He was a dead man flying, and he'd take every extra second. Then he saw something, or rather the shadowy outline of something. Something that gave him a glimmer of hope. It was a little copse of trees, the kind that people plant and cultivate around ranch houses in eastern Oregon. Peering into the darkness, he thought he saw a house there as well, but it was hard to see. In these pre-rural electrification days, nighttime in the country was lit only by the stars. If it was a house, crashing in front of it would be far better than crashing anywhere else. He circled the copse of trees trying to get a better look. Then, a light went on in a window. When Ralph Grove heard the engine droning outside, he knew exactly what that meant. It was the middle of the night, and some stormy weather was coming in. Nobody would be out flying on a night like this unless he was in terrible trouble. Grove lit a lantern and hurried out to the shed in which he kept his automobile. He knew just the field that that pilot should be landing in. Several dozen feet overhead, Barber was praying for gasoline, hardly daring to hope. He'd spotted a lighter patch of darkness that looked like a cultivated field, which would mean no big rocks to smash into. He was trying to keep in position so that if the engine quit, he could reach that field. He watched Grove's lantern moving from the house and disappearing, apparently into a shed. Then lights came on, and he saw an automobile come out of the shed and drive onto the road. Down below, Grove was hurrying down the road to the field in his car. He whipped it into position and let the light of its headlights spill out over the stubbly field, lighting up a row of willow trees at its extreme end. Overhead, Barbara lined up on the field, grabbing for the lifeline, not even sure if he'd make it through the final turn without running out of gas. Then he was on the ground, bumping to a stop, shutting off his engine. Safe. The next morning, Ted learned two things. First, the field he'd been lining up on when he saw Grove's house was the Grove family's vegetable garden. It was just 150 by 300 feet, fenced and for good measure cross-fenced. He would not have survived an attempt to land there. And second, when he put his dipstick into the gas tank to see how much was left, the end that thumped the bottom of the tank at the lowest corner wasn't even moist when he brought it back up. All the fuel left in the plane was just what was in the fuel lines, and the OX-5 engine burns 9 gallons an hour. He'd landed with about 30 seconds worth of fuel left in this airplane. Ted Barber went on to become a flight trainer during World War II and later became a well-known barnstorming Mustanger, using an airplane to round up feral horses on the range in Nevada. Despite dozens of close calls and crashes over the years, including at one point jumping out of his plane head first while it was falling off a Nevada mountain, he was still around in 1987 to write his memoirs. Quote, "It is hard to understand why some people are allowed only one mistake and are killed by it," he wrote then. "I don't have enough fingers and toes to count the really tough spots I have survived." Well, that's our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to the podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a series of live history shows, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone newsreader, a Facebook page, a couple other minor components too. Photographs and other visual goodies that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you will also find full citations to the sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon History for fun and to learn things, so I don't jeopardize that by selling advertising or asking for donations. However, if you enjoy Offbeat Oregon History and you'd like to support it, you can always pick up a copy of my book. If you enjoy this show, I can pretty much guarantee you'll enjoy the book. It's called Wicked Portland. It was published by the History Press in 2012, and they're available at community bookstores, or you can order a signed copy from the store link at offbeatoregon.com. Sells for $20. Finally, if you're ever in Corvallis, drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Our next show will be coming your way around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.